This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
Nearly every year for a decade, I have interviewed Gerald Celente, publisher and editor of the Trends Journal in Rhinebeck, New York, about upcoming trends in the new year. When we talked on December 21, 2007, about trends in 2008, Gerald said, quote, "In 2008, we're going to see some major giant financial firms fall as they get hit by an economic 9/11. Watch for when one of the big firms crashes, like a big bank. That's going to be the first signal. But even bigger than that, much bigger, like a Bank of America. Not the B of A necessarily, but of that caliber," unquote. Then 9 months later, on September 15th, 2008, I interviewed Gerald Celente again after his forecast had come true and the American banks, mortgage companies, Fannie and Freddie, and the economy were falling apart at a rapid rate. For the first time, Earth Files ask, are we facing a depression like 1929? Gerald Celente told me in that interview, quote, "This is a classic Titanic situation in the sense that what we saw with the Fannie and Freddie bailouts and the Bear Stearns bailouts and now the AIG request for more than $40 billion more dollars from the federal government is just like the Titanic where the rich and affluent were given the lifeboats and the rest of the people went under from steerage. The rich and powerful are too big to fail. The rest of us are too small to save," unquote. A month later, on October 17, 2008, after accelerating bank and other company failures on top of massive home foreclosures in the United States, Gerald Celente and I did an update after the American government bought $250 billion in ownership of United States banks and authorized nearly $1 trillion be spent to bail out Wall Street, including a bailout of the world's largest insurance company, AIG. That federal subsidy program is called the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. Gerald Celente told me that the massive government subsidy of the financial sector was subsidizing the greed and incompetence that caused the economic collapse in the first place. Gerald summed up the financial chaos this way, quote, "This Wall Street bailout is really taxation without representation," unquote. Now, 3 months later, at the end of January 2009, despite the $1 trillion federal TARP bailout, unemployment is rising even faster, real estate values continue to fall, and the new Barack Obama administration is struggling to convince Congress to authorize another $900 billion to jumpstart the American economy and keep the nation from collapsing into full-scale depression like the 1930s. But Gerald Celente's top trend for 2009 forecasts this year is the coming greatest depression.
In 2007, we predicted the panic of 08, and that was mostly in the financial areas. Now we're going to see it in the collapse of 09 spread beyond financials throughout society. It's underway. It's happening before our eyes. This is a collapse of monumental proportions. Every day the news is filled with one disaster after another. There's nothing that they can do to stop this other than a productive capacity and maybe an alternative energy, something along the lines of, you know, the discovery of fire or the invention of the wheel, but it has to be really monumental. We can't do it by printing money.
I just got the labor statistics summary as of December 2008, and this is reading directly from this. In December, the number of unemployed persons increased by 632,000 to 11.1 million. And the unemployment rate rose to 7.2%. What do you project will happen with this unemployment rate through 2009?
Well, there's a figure called the total unemployment rate. that rate that you read does not include people that have been discouraged, that can no longer find a job, they've given up, and people that are working part-time that would like full-time work. When you put that number together, we're looking at 13.7%. We're going to see by the time this is over, and we don't know when it will be over, we're going to see unemployment numbers rival that of the Great Depression, probably around 22 to 27%. Calling this a great collapse because you're going to start seeing two factors take place very shortly. One is going to be the collapse in the retail sector. It's already estimated that about 150,000 stores, retail shops, are going to close. Both chain stores and smaller stores are going to close in 2009. That adds, of course, to the unemployment, but it would also add greatly to the commercial real estate glut. If you thought the subprime problem was bad, wait till you see this one. Commercial real estate is much more heavily leveraged than even in the subprime sector. And then we look at the collapse already in the financial sector. We saw Wachovia, we saw IndyMac and Washington Mutual, Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, either get gobbled up or go under, and all the bond companies, names people don't know. The point being, who is going to take up all of that commercial space, the business parks that they've emptied? The answer in both retail and in the office space, the people that are going to take over that vacant space is nobody. You're going to see a glut of real estate that we've never seen before. Ghost malls are going to be spreading around the country. So now, that's where the collapse really happens, because how are these people that leveraged all of this commercial real estate going to service these loans? The answer is, they're not. We're going to be moving into the greatest depression. First, I want to make it clear why this is going to be worse and that we're not gloom and doomers. We're just looking at facts. One of the things to remember is that most people are one job away from losing everything. It's not only the corporate greed that brought us into this. People went way beyond their means and borrowed above their heads with these things called home equity loans. Build on that addition, go on the vacation, buy the SUV, whatever it might have been. So they went way beyond their means as well. So as I said, they're one paycheck away from losing everything. We're going to see massive foreclosures. There are already at record levels. They're going to continue to spread. There is no stopping this using the two tools that the government has, because the only two things that they could come up with in government is either adjust interest rates, which now are down to about zero on the Fed funds, and the other one is to print more money. You can't print your way to prosperity. I mentioned home equity loans. Back in the 30s, nobody had such a thing. If you had a second mortgage, you were considered a loser. Back then, most people didn't own homes. They didn't have credit cards. They weren't burdened with $14 trillion worth of debt. You only bought what you could afford back then. And also back then, very important, we weren't fighting losing wars with a huge military-industrial complex that have cost us well over $2 trillion already and building as we're sending more troops, as we're hearing now, into Afghanistan. And back then, and this is the key point going back to what I said about productive capacity, when we finally got out of the Great Depression, it was the onset of World War II. We were the manufacturing giant of the world. We manufactured our way out of the Great Depression. We no longer have that manufacturing base. So having said that, what we're left with now is a nation of clerks. I look at these job offerings. You go into a Quick Stop gas station and they say, have a career with us. So what kind of career? What happens to a young person that gets out of college with a diploma? So you're going to have massive unemployment. You're going to have rising crime, a lot of petty crime, violent crime. It goes with the territory, and people better get used to it, and they're not going to solve it by putting more police on the streets unless they're going to turn it into a totally fascist country. And the other thing we're going to start to see, Linda, we're going to start seeing revolutions. People have had it up to their eyeballs. when they're hearing about all of these bailouts and the corporate jets and the perks and the bonuses that the bankers and banksters and brokers getting from the taxpayers' money with the billions of dollars that they're getting, while they're bailing out the big guys, the too small to saves are going under while they're getting taxed to death.
If we have more people out of work as of January 2009, and all of the statistics on declining housing values keeps going down every month, a huge portion of the American population no longer has any value in the homes that they are trying to stay in, where they are paying mortgages, they are paying more than the house is now worth, with rising unemployment. How can these plans under the new Obama administration solve what seems to be a social economic implosion of this country?
They can't, and they won't. And the only things that we can see them doing is grabbing more and more power. They call it nationalizing banks. You know, in 1 year, the whole texture of the United States changed. It began with the bailout of Bear Stearns, or as I like to call them, the Bear Stearns gang. And there's the Merrill Lynch mob and the Lehman boys. These are the gangsters, folks. You know, as an Italian-American, I've heard enough mafia stories for the rest of my life. If you want to look at the mafia, you go to Wall Street. And Wall Street's hijacked Washington. Just as they created the too big to fails, now they're going to create other kind of banking institutions. They'll call them nationalized. So what we're seeing is the takeover of free enterprise in this country. And it's happening worldwide. And when we talk about this financial meltdown, it's very important to understand this is a global meltdown. There's riots in Iceland, Latvia, Lithuania, Greece. This is just the beginning.
Where is the leverage point by any American taxpayer to change anything about the United States government now?
Well, the only leverage point is that, as we say, we're going to see revolts, and among those are going to be tax revolts. You're going to start seeing them happening. The values of houses have gone down, but yet each year when the values were going up, they would raise the assessment, and you would have to pay more money. So now are they going to devalue? Are they going to ask for less taxes? Well, not here in New York. They were asking us for 7% increases. So in reality, they should be lowering taxes. They're not. The whole face of America has changed. We now own the people, the largest insurance company in the world, AIG. We own big pieces of banks. We own auto companies. We own the largest mortgage companies. Some people are calling it socialism. You could even call it fascism. The one thing you cannot call what's going on in the United States, it's not free market enterprise. It's a takeover. They're going to keep asking for more taxes. Look at the people they've brought in to manage the TARP money. They brought them in from the Blackstone Group. They brought them in from Goldman Sachs. They brought them in from all the gangs that made it happen. So the fallacy is that government is behind this. We wrote about this when it started to happen, when the name of the trend alert was DC heist. Wall Street mob takes over Washington. And that's what's happened. So this is what's going on. So now they're just controlling it in a different way.
And isn't this one of the biggest differences between what happened in 1929 through the 30s? There was not government takeover of banks and corporations then, right?
Exactly. And the other thing, too, that is very important to understand when you have to look at the details again. This GMAC thing became a bank. You know, the GMAC, the company that loans people money to people to buy their cars. Well, they made them a bank on Christmas Eve when no one was watching. And that's so they could tap into the TARP money. They're eligible for $26 billion worth of money. And then you look, who owns GMAC? Well, you would think General Motors. But if you did, you would thought wrong. 51% is owned by Cerebus. You know who Cerebus is? They own Chrysler Corporation,
which is going under as well.
Right. And do you know who the CEO is? John Snow, former Treasury Secretary, the guy just before Paulson. Dan Quayle's a director. Six is in. It's a rigged game. I love the name Cerebus, the name of the three-headed dog, the mythological dog that guards the gates of hell. Do you need to know anymore?
This then is the perfect time for you to share about what your own experience was with the former Texas governor, John Connally. And I wonder if you could describe that 1992 experience that led up to what he said to you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the Trends Journal, as you see, I have a photo of me and him and his wife, Nellie, standing in front of the book depository, the Dallas Book Depository in 1992. And it was their first time back since the assassination. And he had wanted to meet me because in one of my previous books, Trend Tracking, that I wrote in the 80s, I had predicted a new third party and someone like Ross Perot would be the kind of candidate. Why I mentioned his name, I'll never know. But anyway...
You were right.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I came up with his name, but I did. And so that day after lunch, and he started telling the story of what happened that day, and he explained that, you know, he heard a gunshot, and he said, I knew it was a gunshot, you know, because I'd been hunting since I was a little boy, and was wearing a dark blue suit that day, and I looked over to my left, and there were brains on my shoulder. He said, I know there were brains because my daddy was a butcher. On the way back in the car, we got out of the limousine and we're walking back into the Anatole Hotel. He stopped me and he looked at me and he said, you know, I know your heart's in the right place. I read your book and it's a fine piece of work. He said, but you don't have a clue what's going on. And neither do the American people.
In the government.
Yeah. He said, you don't have a clue what's going on. He said, neither do the American people. Because if they did, there'd be a revolution in this country. And this is a guy, as we all know, he was the governor of Texas. He was Treasury Secretary under Nixon. And this guy was on the inside. And this is 1992. And we look at the levels of corruption now. I mean, there's not a state that doesn't have a crooked politician making the news. I stood there for a second. He walked away from me. And I had been a political atheist before that. And I had been in government. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. I ran a mayoral campaign in Yonkers at a graduate school. I had been around enough. And when he said that, I was stunned for a second, but it confirmed everything that I believed. And now I think the time for the revolution is going to happen, the one he was talking about, because now people know. If the people only knew, now the people know. They're getting robbed blind in broad daylight. We're telling people to really take this very seriously. The ship is sinking. You know, don't spend any extra money that you don't have. If your kid's in college and he's not going to get a job or she's not going to get a job with the degrees that they have, don't go deeper into debt, either them or yourself, to keep this going. Pull the plug on it now. Don't buy anything above your means. Support anything locally that you can. And go out and have a good time. We're not telling people to hide in cocoons. That's crazy. You know, go out and enjoy yourself. You only live once. But do it within your means.
Regardless of what the government and the corporations
exactly.
are doing.
Exactly. You know, life goes on, you know. Let's remember, during the Depression, it was the hottest, happiest music that anybody'd ever known. It was swing time. People got dressed up and they had a good time. And we could do that again. So, you know, don't let the government control your life.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.